Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the Black Speaking Double podcast. I am your host, Eugene. No Lucy today, but she'll be back. Do have a special guest, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear this interview that I've just had the pleasure of basically doing. We've got the one and only Jameer Jenkins on the pod. Post US Open success with Coco Gauff, shouts out, US Open champion, first Grand Slam. And yeah, Jameer Jenkins is part of the team, kind enough to share his time with me for a quick chat just about the amazing summer Coco Gauff has just had. So without further ado, here it is. When did you officially join the Team Coco, and how did that relationship basically come to be?
I officially joined shortly after she did the BJK here in Delray.
Okay.
Her dad and I think we met sometime in Europe while I was with Serena. I think Serena was planning. We knew that she was going to be stopping in the next year or two. We just didn't know when. And so I kind of met with the family. Actually, Coco's mom and dad came to my wedding. My dad himself has a history with Coco. I think Corey was telling me something about my dad helped Coco with her forehand or her serve at one point. Wow. So there's we already had that history together, right? And then obviously Chris and Coco being really good friends. It was just an atmosphere where it's just it felt kind of more like family than anything.
I could imagine.
It was just, I think I was trying to do some searching about, what I wanted to do post Serena.
Yeah.
And that was just me going over and saying listen, I really want to see Coco do well. I'm offering my services to you guys. You feel free to use me in any capacity that you feel like. And that's pretty much how the partnership started.
No, I love that. What's it been like in terms of working with, because obviously there's a team of you in terms of coaches. Obviously Brad Gilbert's just come on and he's getting kind of all the I guess acclaim and shine at the moment. But it's Per Riba that's been the recent coach appointment. What's it been like working with him?
Oh man, Per has been, I cannot put in words how good this guy is, about the passion that he brings, the level of attention to details. I've never seen this level of organization from a coach ever. Wow. the guy shows up with his notepad and, has every specific footwork drill labeled, everything is labeled down to the T, the travel schedule. And, in fact, this guy has already had the team on video call where we already know the next steps. I can't even, he's made me 10 times a better coach than I was previously before getting to know him.
Wow.
And also just a genuine person as well. So following that Wimbledon loss, I really got a chance to see, I guess everyone got a chance to see how everyone kind of is under pressure, and we were able to get on the practice courts and really put in some quality time with Coco's game. And a lot of her success I would definitely attribute to that time we were able to spend in post Wimbledon, and also when she did the exhibition in Atlanta, we put in a strong 10-11 days there as well before heading up to DC. So I think we were able to kind of really put her in a place that she could never second guess. Okay, am I doing the right things? Have I put in the work? And then, when Brad got on the team in DC, it was, I think Coco was able to take in his message in a way that, it's not like we were saying different things to her.
Yeah.
But I think coming from Brad and, having Brad's pedigree and the history that he brings, it's like, if this guy is saying that you're doing the right things, I think that erased all doubt and any kind of, you know, yeah, any kind of doubt that she was having before, she didn't have it after grabbing the team. It kind of gave her that peace of mind, you know?
Of course. Did you have any kind of dealings or, like, interactions with Brad Gill before he joined, like, the team? Or was this the first time?
No. So he was... I want to say contracted out through USTA, but this was when I was younger. I got a chance to meet him and work with him a bit, but not in this level of detail that I'm able to work alongside him with Coco.
Nice. Okay. And just quickly on Pierre, back to Pierre quickly, like, did you know much of him beforehand or, like, yeah, is this?
I honestly, no. Once I saw that they were interested in Pierre, I kind of, you know, did some background on him, and I saw the work that he was able to do with Kinwan.
Yeah.
And the track record speaks for itself. And then, you know, I'm very rarely interested in about the accolades and stuff. It's more so, you know, once we're on the court in lab, kind of seeing him work, that's kind of where I kind of make all my judgments. And this guy's has been nothing short of like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Oh, fantastic. And I want to start back in terms of where, because obviously Coco has had an amazing summer. So just going back to Washington, like, what kind of was the feeling, like you said, coming off the back of the Wimbledon first round defeat, like, what was the feeling kind of going into Washington? In terms of getting the summer US summer series started, like, what was, like, the mindset, if you can get into that?
Yeah, I think it was just kind of figuring out how this new team is going to operate. You know, I think myself, Kara, Brad, we're all so different individuals. And it was kind of just seeing how well we're going to gel well with each other. And I think having Brad's expertise with, you know, Kara's passion and knowledge and myself as well, I think the mindset was translating everything that we've been doing in practice onto the tennis courts. And, you know, there's one match I think that I could think about that started everything, is the match that we played with Belinda, where, you know, we were kind of giving her some strategy to work on in the practices leading up to that match. And, you know, seeing how she was able to translate it over and seeing how, you know, it was working in practice, and then seeing how it worked during the match, I'm just like, okay, well, that's the formula right there. That's what we need to keep working on. Or not even that's what we need to keep working on. That's how we need to go about things, because it just clicked.
Yeah.
You know, and I think once that started to click for her, once she kind of had mental representations of, okay, this is what I need to be doing during the point, I think that's when she started to kind of just, like, believe that, like, all right, this is, it's coming, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I love that you touched on the Belinda Bencic match as well, because I want to kind of get back into that in terms of, like, standout matches for you, like, from the run. So we'll probably touch back on that in a bit. But coming into the US Open now, obviously, like, amazing in terms of sixth seed going all the way. And, like, there was a lot of pressure on her in terms of being, like, one of the standout Americans, like, kind of going into, like, New York, like, I guess the thought process must have been, like, yeah, we can win this thing, like, coming off the back of wins in Washington and Cincy.
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, I think that's always the mindset going into any tournament. I think, especially with someone like Coco, who just, man, this girl, she works so hard. She's so routine in her schedule. So I think her mindset is always, I could come in and win this tournament. Specifically going into New York, we knew that, like, you know, D.C. was on the table, Cincinnati was on the table. We had put in some great results. We've been having some really good practices. And the week leading up to New York, I mean, whew, we must have played against 6-7 players, and Coco was just going through them.
Yeah.
I mean, all of the sets were just like 6-2, 6-1. I mean, she was feeling really, really confident going in. But I knew just when the matches started, it was more about just managing the stress and managing the nerves more than anything. You know, so I knew that that we had a shot.
Yeah.
It was just more so about just handling the day to day, staying in the moment, and controlling the nerves.
Was like the draw ever discussed? Like when, because I mean, I know certain players they don't like looking at the draws, but I'm wondering if that was ever like mentioned or like looked at, like when the draw was made.
It's always just about the next player. I mean, for the coaches, I'm always looking to a few matches ahead. Okay. You know, just so I know, like, all right, once Coco wins, who do I need to go and watch? It's because I just like to see it live.
Yeah.
So I'm always looking ahead, but for Coco, as far as what we're discussing, what we're talking about, it's always the next match.
Yeah, and just going back to like some of the standout matches now, like from Washington, Cincy, and New York. Like for you, like can you give me one match from each of those tournaments that like stood out to you in terms of performance?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's tough to put each tournament in one match because I feel like there are so many matches that captured new milestones for us. For example, with Belinda, it was the milestone of, okay, this is what I need to be doing during the point. But after that, she played Samsonova, and Coco had been like wrestling with us about how she wants or needs to return during points or what she feels comfortable with.
Okay.
And then the Samsonova match, she finally turned the corner on that. And I think it was like a different representation because it's like, okay, this is what I need to be doing on my returns, regardless if it's a really big server or not. So that was a milestone for us. And then with Sakari, that was another milestone. And then I'm just like, I think a lot of times tennis players have this notion of that I need to be playing really good tennis all the time. Or if I play really good tennis for a couple of games, I need to be able to continue that. And I think that was the start of her feeling like, okay, I don't have to play my best tennis all the time to win, you know? And I felt like that was a really big milestone for us. It's just, because I felt like before there were a lot of players that we played that tactically we had a great game plan. Coco went into the match feeling really good, but there were moments in the matches where you could see the stress level kind of build up and she went into panic mode. And I feel like in DC in the final, there were moments during that match where she had every reason to go into panic mode, but she kind of stood her ground there with managing the emotions. And again, that was, you know, those are three matches that I feel like we captured three different milestones there. And then, you know, fast forward to Cincinnati, we have a bit of a confidence going into there. We had just lost, I think, the previous week to Pegula. But same thing. We were able to get to Cincinnati, have some really good practices. And, you know, man, that the one match, obviously, that stands out is her finally getting over the hump.
Of course.
And, you know, the crazy thing about that match is that third set was all Coco. You know, she was a little upset with some of the things that we were telling her on the sideline. And, you know, I think that was us really, you know, the team was still new at that point. So it was us still trying to manage, okay, what information do we need to give her when she's under stress or, you know. And so in that moment, I think Coco was frustrated and she was just like, I got this. And she had it. I mean, she kind of turned the level up, and that third set was all her figuring out what she needs to do by herself. And I think that shows really good, you know, management from the coaches, because I mean, I feel like in certain moments, certain coaches would fight back and be like, no, you need to do this.
Yeah.
And everybody kind of just pulled away, and we really gave the trust to Coco, and we just sat back and kind of just witnessed her, you know, to take the title. Take the semifinal. And then against Mukova, similar thing. Coco didn't serve well. She didn't play well. And then obviously, you know, with Mukova having the injury that day, it kind of just put it on Coco's shoulders. It's like, hey, if you want this, you have to take it, you know, because she. And so that was another milestone that just like, listen, again, you don't have to play great tennis to win. I think. And then going into New York, for me, the standout match there is the Sabalenka match where, you know, she kind of just blew by us that first set. And I think Coco took a break there after the first set and kind of just regrouped. And, you know, another example, didn't really serve her best tennis, didn't really hit her forehand the best that day, had every reason to panic, had every reason to look back in the past and say, like, you know, the finals is good. I've had a good DC run. I've had a good Cincinnati run. Let me try and search for some kind of comfort in this U.S. Open loss. I mean, I feel like she could have had every reason to kind of back down. But as we saw throughout that whole tournament, the girl just kept fighting. Mm-hmm. You know, she kept using her legs to get to every single ball. And I think over time, that's just, you know, it's for Sabalenka, credit to her. She came out firing. But, you know, when the ball just keeps coming back, it's difficult to have that kind of level of precision on you know, being so aggressive all the time. Yeah. So, you know, those are some of the moments that I'm just like, wow, this girl's a fighter.
I love that. So detailed, man. Much appreciated. Yeah. Also as well, you were there obviously for Serena's, you were on Serena's team for her mm-hmm. final US Open back in 2022. Like, in terms of the atmosphere, like on the grounds, like, how do they compare? Because obviously we're watching from home. We weren't on the grounds this year, unfortunately. Like, but
yeah, so me personally, walking into the stadium for those final matches with Serena, I've never heard a stadium so loud. Every single person in the stadium was cheering for Serena as well. Man, it's crazy to think back on those times, because it's kind of like you had no choice but to practice mindfulness. It's like every practice could be the last, every pre-match warm-up, every post-match debrief could be the last one. So just being around grounds and feeling that energy and feeling people who want to be a part of that energy, it was special. It was special. And then, you know, obviously Serena being so instrumental in my career and, you know, being the reason why Coco started playing and having this dream, it's crazy to go from, okay, this could be the last time, the last warm-up, the last match, to on the flip side of that with Coco, it's like, man, this could be the first time that we do this. You know, this is going to be the first time that, you know, I have this practice with Coco, and she's going to go out and win the U.S. Open. So just to be on two different spectrums of that, I don't feel like it's right to compare them, because it was just the end of something great, the end of something special. But, you know, for Serena, it was the start of the rest of her life, and she's super happy right now, and she's doing great things. But on the flip side of that, for Coco, it's just like, man, this is the start of something special, and I don't see her slowing down anytime soon. So, man, that was my moment of reflection. I'm just like, man, to be a part of those two things, man, it feels really special for me.
It's massive. What were the celebrations like as well? Like on that night, like, because we've seen a few pictures.
She had a lot of friends and family around. Nice. For me personally, I'm very much a low-key type of person, so I wanted to give her that space to enjoy it with family and friends. I think we went out to a restaurant or to some kind of bar, and we were able to share some drinks, and I was able to chat it up with some past champions. And
so I saw a nice pick with you and Roddick. I like
right.
that.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. We had a moment. I was able to kind of get some advice from him. It was a good time, man. That's special. It was obviously me going 0-4 in the finals with Serena, and finally being able to get one. Man.
I didn't want to mention that, but fair play.
Yeah. I can't put it to work. I actually kind of got choked up a bit because Serena sent me a message and congratulating Coco and myself, and it was really cool to be a part of.
No, I love that. And lastly, Jameer, like, this is a bit of a joke, but serious. With Coco, like, she on during changeovers, she loves to eat fruits. Like, I love seeing that because you don't really see many players do that. Is that something she does like during practice as well? Like, or is that just a match play?
That's funny. You know, now that you mentioned that, I don't recall her eating fruit at practice. She could have. I honestly don't pay attention enough to recall that.
Fair play.
Thinking back on it, I would say no. I feel like she just has like a water jug. Yeah. But I'll pay attention to it now.
No, fair play. And just lastly as well, I need to congratulate you Jermaine too, because the last two Grand Slams, the Jenkins brothers have been involved in some way. Obviously, Jermaine with Claire V, the junior Wimbledon champion.
Oh, thank you.
And now yourself with Coco, US Open champion. Like, that's...
No, thank you, man. I didn't even connect those dots. So I appreciate that.
That's pretty special. Because when I was thinking about putting this together, that literally just came to my mind. I was like, hang on a minute. We've got Jermaine with Claire V at Wimbledon, and now Jameer with Coco at the US Open.
That's funny. No, the sibling rivalry is very, very much alive. so I always tell Jermaine, whatever he does, I have to one-up him. So I think... So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting to see what he does in Australia.
Love that. I love that. Well, yeah, we look forward to seeing that, man. Yeah, Jameer, again, thank you so much, man, for joining me on this special episode. Much appreciated.
Yeah, man. Anytime you guys shoot me a message, I'm always going to find a way to be available. So I appreciate you guys. Thanks for what you do.
No, man. Love always.